welcome, Hebrews, Negroes, serfs, paupers, and peasants, comrades. You're listening to the Dred Scott Show, your underground network to financial freedom, coming to you from Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, the corner plantation house we know as Washington, D.C. Here to cure your financial slavery mentality, your host, the one, the only, Neil the Dred Scott. Okay, welcome everybody. You're listening to the Dred Scott Show with your host, Neil the Dred Scott. So I'd like to welcome you to the show, and so let's just get right into it. Today there was an article that came across that I somehow missed, but I wanted to make sure to bring it up. And it's about missing teenager, and well, another teenager is missing in America, no surprise there. So it's Sierra Lamar in California, who has been missing from around March the 15th or thereabout, but the police in California are now stepping up the search, and San Francisco 49ers quarterback Alex Smith has also joined in on the search. So we're hoping for the best and wishing the police and the best of, you know, the best, and hopefully they'll find Sierra at least alive, but we're hoping for the best. So let's keep her in our prayers. So I wanted to bring that up. As you know, in the first show, if you listen to the first show, it was another missing it was another teenager who unfortunately the circumstances didn't turn out too well. But in that show, I'd said it seems like every week, you know, another teenager or child goes missing in America, especially girls. And, you know, I'd said picky age of the week. So this picky age for the month, sorry. So March month, I guess, was she's 15 years old and missing. But we hope for the best, and it's a tragedy. It ties into today's show, too. Today we'll be going over just a little bit about the show and Article 28. Some of the things you have to, you know, just some little tidbits so you get the most out of the show when you listen to it, and you can see eventually, you know, we'll try and... the show is sponsored by Article 28, and so we hopefully will shed some light on what Article 28 wants to accomplish as we go along. But this is just little things that we want you to understand about the show, and maybe it should give you a better grasp of where we're coming from, where we hope to go. And most importantly, we'd like to take you along, so hopefully you'll delve in with it, you know, with the big spoon, and eventually you'll come around and you know, begin to see where we're coming from and where we're going. So I guess the first best place to start is the introduction. The song in the introduction is just a song I like, so you don't have to worry about it. That has no meaning whatsoever. However, the introductory, I don't know what you call it, monologue or whatever in the song or whatever it is, something to learn. You know, it clearly starts out, you know, with the Hebrews, Negroes, serfs, paupers, and peasants, comrades. Clearly, these are people who've always been oppressed by an elite few, an elite minority, who has subjugated the population to horrendous brutality, impoverishment, and you know, tyranny. Basically, tyranny. So that's basically it. So that's the, you know, that's how it starts off, and then you're listening to the Dred Scott Show. Of course, in America, we know who Dred Scott was, the Dred Scott decision, And then I'm your host, Neil the Dreads. Well, so Dred Scott was, he was a slave, got free, and then was enslaved again by a ruling of the Supreme Court. So we know, so the Dred Scott show, this time it applies to all of us. And it's your under, and then it's your underground network to financial freedom. So clearly there's something there with financial freedom. Has to deal with finances and how we're going to become financially free. Coming to you from Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah, the corner plantation house. And the reason is the corner plantation house is simple. It's always the last house on the block. It's the last house. It's in the corner. It's the last house you get to. And if it's a plantation, usually it's the last plantation on the block or on the road or whatever. So it's the corner plantation house, known as Washington, D.C. So we're financial slaves to Washington, D.C. And it's here to cure your financial slavery mentality. And so your host, Neil the Dread Scott, which is, my name is, in the real world, is Neil Scott. And I just, and for the show, we actually use the dreadlocks. If you look at our logo, it's the dreadlocks as a metaphor for wisdom and intelligence. Hopefully, you know that we Solomon, was it Solomon or whatever, who couldn't cut his hair and blah blah blah. So, but it's also a play on the Dred Scott case. So, you know, it was just coincidence. My last name is Scott, not coincidence. There are millions to be, probably. I don't know how many Scots there are in the world, but I'm sure it's not unique. So anyway, so that's the introduction. And so that's to give you a little bit about what the show is about. Your, you know, wisdom and bringing you along so that we can end this financial slavery that is being imposed on us from Washington, D.C. So that's the introduction there, and that's, you know, the quick tidbit, the dessert, or the opening, you know, coffee or tea, or the opening salad. Yeah. All right. So as we go into the show, who are our tyrannical or tyrannical? The plantocracy, the tyrannical plantocracy that rules over us. You'll hear me use the term Democrats and Republicrats, meaning the one-party system here. So just like you had the communists and comrades, we have, we can use it interchangeably, the Democrats and the Republicrats, who have rigged the system really, and really have ruled basically with the tyranny of the minority. So you'll hear that. You'll also hear a term called the educracy. That's the identifying factor. So you'll hear more about that as we go along and get into the show. You'll hear a little bit more about those two and how they've managed to enslave us financially. So having said that, there is something you have to also understand. So that's how those are that frames the tyrannical overlords or plantocracy or whatever you want to call them, however you want to define them, however, whatever makes you feel best. Here we'll use the term educracy. So whenever you hear that, you'll know that they're the problem, primarily. Because we don't have communist leaders or fascists or pharaohs, but there's an elite few who rule over us with tyranny. Now, for the Dred Scott show, we're going to be dealing with a lot of, as I said, financial issues, economic issues. So one of the things that we want to convey is how we measure financial liberty and what we use as a measurement for financial liberty. Because if you listen, and this is where I'll throw that word in, to the Educracy on the TV, whether it's the conservative show, whether you're a Fox News or a liberal show, the I guess that would be MSNBC, or if you listen to the conservative talk shows or the conservative TV shows, I guess you would say every other network or every other TV show is liberal, but that's not really true. But we use, so we have to decipher all the economic stuff, because one week you'll hear one economist come on and say things are great, the next week you'll hear another one come on say things are bad. So we, and then how do you compare find, you know, where your position is financially with, say, the past? How do you compare different groups? And how do you, you know, compare different people within the society? So we use as a bench, as a, not as a benchmark, but as a guiding principle, there's always been one measurement that has withstood the test of time. And it's always how you can measure your station in life against somebody else's station in life in this time, in the past, and it'll be the same in the future. So to judge our financial freedom, we use as a indicator, we use here at Article 28 and on the Dred Scott Show, we use violence. Is the one true indicator that is a constant throughout all of history and throughout all of time and throughout all the people in the society, black, in America, to be black, white, or whatever. How much you're exposed to violence in your daily life measures your financial liberty. It's just a fact. You know, forget about GDP and the quarterly reports from the stock market. Basically, we know the less violence you're subjected to, the more financial liberty you have. And that, so that's the main point, the main indicator we use. And then we break it down into three categories of violence. So the first category of violence is self-inflicted violence. That is violence that you inflict upon yourself. And that can range from anything, from the most extreme would be suicide, when you take your own life. But there are other forms. There is abuse, whether it be drugs, alcohol, you know, medication. That's another form of self-inflicted violence. Whether you know, some people hurt themselves physically. So that's one category, self-inflicted violence. The other is violence that people inflict upon you. That is probably the most common type of violence. Well, it's not the most common type, actually. Self-inflicted is the most common type. But the one we mostly expose, see around us in our daily life, is violence that other people inflict upon you. And that is crime, basically. Those are that's violence where there's a victim. You know, murder, robbery, rape, you name it. You know the whole gamut. It could be passive. We've heard passive aggressive. Generally, just the violence, you know, that's out there. You know, whether it's people harassing you, spreading rumors, or bullying and on the internet or whatever. So that's violence too, but that's violence that's inflicted upon you by other people. The last category of violence, which is collective, is the violence that we as a society either inflict upon ourselves or upon others, and that is societal violence. And that includes another whole range of issues, such as I get the most probably the best example is war. As a society, you go to war and you inflict violence upon another society. But it can take other forms that you inflict upon yourself here at home. You can failure to provide a proper education for people to function in the society. Failure to provide adequate care for people in the society. Health care is a big one. We dealt with that. We're dealing with that one with the Supreme Court now, and our Congress is, the plantocracy or the Democrats and the Republicans are trying to figure that one out, or to figure it out, or to destroy it, either or. So that's a societal violence, and perhaps the one that we most hate to deal with is poverty. Poverty is societal violence. It's created by the society. There's no need. There's no economic reason to have poverty in a society. Now, whether you're saying, well, there's a war on poverty, blah, blah, whatever, but that's those are the benchmarks we look at Article 28, whether the society is getting, how much violence are you subject to, whether it's self-inflicted suicide, whether it's violence by other people in the society upon you, which would be crime, and then where there's societal violence, which would be, say, war or failure to provide people in the society with an adequate education to function in that society. So that's the main benchmark that we use in Article 28. So right now, let's take a real quick break so you can absorb some of that, and then we'll be right back after this quick break.
There's a new rebel in town, and this one's called the Dread. Hold on to whatever you got, but best yet, just hold on. He's talking liberty, politics, politics, and we are going to be marching on the way to being free. The Dread Scott Show with your host, the one, the only, Neil the Dread Scott. Tune in or tune out or whatever you tune, but this one is live.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. Glad you chose to stay, or hopefully we didn't get too deep there. Don't worry, this is going to be a quick short segment, or well, a quick short show. So, and we're almost there, and we're going to get into a little bit of comedy humor in a few seconds. So just bear with me. We just have a few more points. Well, really just one more point to go over. And then we'll try and wrap everything up, give you some time to sit back and have that after dinner cigar. Now, this was a point I saw, well, an interview I saw years ago, and I was looking for something that encapsulates where we are today in America so that we can look back, that ties us back to the past, to the present, and how we intend to shape the future. After all, Article 28 is an organization that is trying to amend the constitution, so it we have it has to be tied to the past, the present, and the future. It wouldn't make any sense. Otherwise, we'd just be another talk show. And then I am the dread. So not only do I have opinions, I also have a solution. You always hear the talk show people on radio, I hate the government. And then you say, well, what's your solution? Well, I don't have any. We want small government. What small government? You know, all that. Anyway. So I was looking to, well, I was watching an interview, and it was with Benjamin Netanyahu. He's now the Prime Minister of Israel, but at the time he wasn't. And I think when I saw the interview, the second or the third or the fourth intifada, I can't remember, but they're having a whole bunch of problems, and he wasn't Prime Minister, and I wish I could remember exactly when he said it and in what context, but he said that the Palestinians, there won't be peace, sorry, not the past, that there won't be peace in the Middle East until the, I don't remember if he said Muslims or the Arabs or whatever, but I think he said Muslims, or he may have even said the Palestinians, or, you know, said the Pal, but anyway, the statement basically went something like this: there won't be peace in the Middle East until the Palestinians learn to love their children more than they hate the Jews. And that's what disappoints me, because when I heard it, I should have been like, oh man, I have to write this one down. But I remember the gist of the, you know, when he said it. I think he was saying it when they had a spate of suicide bombings. But anyway, and I said, wow. And so, and I hadn't decided on, you know, I hadn't done any other shows yet. It was still in the thinking process of the Dred Scott show and everything. And so I said, wow, how does that saying apply to America? And I said, you know, it does. It fits America perfectly. And, you know, it just hit me. So, you know, I said, okay, well, how would it apply to America? And I said, America will never know peace. And peace and prosperity, but I'll just use peace, because we'll just use peace as it includes prosperity. If you have peace, you'll have prosperity versus violence. So America will never know peace until they love their children more than they hate African Americans. And I think that just sums it up right there, from our unique history in the past, the present, and going forward in the future. That is it right here. That is our statement. What Benjamin Netanyahu said applied to him in Israel, but that statement, I think, applies here, because we have to ask ourselves what is going wrong in this country, and we need to take a deep look from our past, present, and future. So this isn't just a show to rail like rants and get up and you know, be angry at whoever, you know, Obamacare and all that stuff. This is a little bit more serious, because there's a serious issue here, which I said is we plan to amend the Constitution. So, I want you to keep that statement in mind and couple it with what I've said here about violence. So, until Americans love their children more than they hate African Americans, they will never know peace. Okay, so you get the gist of it. Okay. So on that note, I think it's time we just take a little, you know, we just wrap this show up real quick. So just to give you some of the lighter side, we're going to be right now we're just the Dred Scott Show, and you just know Article 28. But eventually, we're going to have to create a movement, and we're going to have to get Congress and the states moving. We've seen various movements around these days. We've seen the Tea Party movement, and we've seen the 99%ers. A lot of protesters, no solutions again. So, and really boring. I mean, where the Tea Party movement? How many Americans drink tea? I mean, I know it's the Boston Tea Party, and it was the beginning of the American Revolution. Yeah, whatever. But come on, how many of us really drink tea? They should call it the coffee movement, the coffee pot movement. That would even make more sense. But anyway, but we're going to start getting to a movement, and it's going to be called the Red Bell Rebellion. Why? We see all these movements across the world in the last few years, the Jasmine Revolution, the Orange Revolution, and all those others. So, they're clearly color is, color adds something to it. It's, you can see it. I mean, the Tea Party, after the tea sank, nobody saw it anymore. But, you can have flags and stuff. And being America, we just can't have a color revolution and wave flags. No, being Americans, we have to make noise also. It just looks good on TV. Whole bunch of red and a whole bunch of noise. So we call it the Red Bell Rebellion, and we have red bells. That's a red tea bell. Or we have the red cowbell. And so if you hear while we're doing the show, if you hear the red tea bell, that's a good idea. And if you hear the red cowbell, it means that was a bad idea. So that's something for the future for you to think about. And we'll also eventually be getting these bells with our logos on them and everything, and have them up on the website for sale. So as we progress and we get more followers and more you tune in and you join in, and we begin to persuade you to come and bring you along, with the show. Like I say, I'm here to carry you, into the future, and we tie it into the past, and we persuade you, and we deal with the present. Hopefully, you'll be getting bells, and we'll be having flags, and eventually, unlike the other two, I guess, I don't know what you call them, the Tea Party movement and the 99%ers movement, we'll sensible people will have a new thing to do, and we should get more coverage. And the good thing is, those movements have no solutions. This movement will have a solution in the end. And it's, you just go to article28.com on the internet, the World Wide Web, the World Wide Webosphere. So those are the bells. So if you hear those, then that's to tell you what you that's to give you lively it up, and it should make for an interesting movement. So tea bell good, cowbell bad, but at the protest it don't, if we get the protest off the ground, it won't matter, because it'll just be a sea of noise, and we'll get the red, get some flags and t-shirts and everything, eventually. All that marketing stuff. But America has to do it in style, unlike the Purple Revolution and the Jasmine Revolution. And we're certainly not going the road of Syria. We're not planning to overthrow the government. We're just planning to amend the Constitution. So that's, so yeah, it should be fun. Supporters of the goals, supporters of our goals want the following amendment to the Constitution of the United States, right? That's Article 28. And then you can read what the amendment is. So that was one point. And last but not least, I started this out a while back. It's actually, I think it's funny, but maybe you don't. But it was something my dad said to me one time, and I thought it was funny. So if you hear, so he was telling me about somebody, I forget who it is, and I asked, what does that person do every Sunday or something like that? And he says, "Ah, oh, she goes to a jump up church." Jump up. So anyway, I'll get into that later. So if you hear me use the term, I'll refer, when you hear me refer to the term jump ups, it means the jump up Christians. So it's an inside. Well, it's not. When I'm finished, as we go along. So I started off with three, following in the. I had three definitions originally. When he said, well, when he said it was, it was just hysterical. And then I came, it was, it just was what, it was a joke at, when I heard it the first, it was hysterical. And then I was here and I was thinking about it. It was years later. It was at least a couple of years, 2, 3 years later. And I was going to get, baptized. And then I was looking at churches to go to. And then I said, wow, that word, that phrase just applies here. So taken off, well, taken, I guess, flattery is what? I forget. But anyway, copying from Jeff's Foxword is, how you can tell you're a redneck. I said, well, how can you tell you're a jump up Christian? And I started out, I had the first three, and then as time has progressed, I've added a few more, so I'm about up to 7, 8. So how do you know if you're a jump up Christian? Number one, you sing every 5 minutes in church. That's, number one. Number two, your preacher talk, well, you talk in tongues. And number three, your church charms, your preacher charms snakes. So those are the three. Well, your church has snake charmers. So we'll get into that, and it's an inside joke. You won't get it. I have to explain it to you in more detail, but some things to look forward to. Guess I didn't do a good job of that joke, so there you go. But that's it for today's show. Hopefully you'll be coming back. Hopefully we didn't give you too much to, to make it too deep, too hard, too tough. But it's better than, trust me, whatever you hear on this show, it'll be easier than what you have to face when you go out the door tomorrow. So come back and we'll talk to you again on our next show.